The celebration of Easter is a worldwide tradition. It involves many customs that people believe to be Christian. But what is its origin? And the same of Lent and sunrise services. How did rabbits, eggs, and hot cross buns become associated with Christ's resurrection? Is Easter mentioned in the Bible? Did the apostles and early church observe it? Most people follow along in life as they have been taught, assuming what they believe and do is right. They take their beliefs for granted. Most do not take time to prove why they do the things they do. Why do you believe what you do? Where did you get your beliefs? Is the Bible your source or is some other authority? If you say the Bible, are you sure? Easter requires close scrutiny, and this broadcast brings it. You will be shocked.
The World to Come. The Restored Church of God presents David C. Pack, author of 80 books and booklets, editor-in-chief of The Real Truth magazine, read by countless and growing numbers in every nation and territory of the world, in a violent age full of bad news, answering life's greatest questions straight from the Bible and announcing the wonderful good news of the world to come. And now, David C. Pack.
Since hundreds of millions keep Easter, supposedly in honor of Jesus Christ's resurrection, then the Bible must have much to say about it. Surely there are numerous verses mentioning rabbits, eggs and egg hunts, baskets of candy, hot cross buns, Lent, Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday, and sunrise services, not to mention Easter itself. The Bible is the source for all things Christian. Does it mention Easter? Yes, it does. Acts chapter 12 describes persecution against the church. This culminated in the brutal murder of the apostle James by the sword. Verse 3 states, "Then were the days of unleavened bread." The early New Testament church was observing these feast days described in Leviticus 23. Now verse 4. "And when King Herod had apprehended Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him to 16 soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." Is this Bible authority for Easter? No. This passage is not talking about Easter. The word Easter is translated from Pascha, which derives from the Hebrew word Pesach. There is no Greek word for Passover, and Pascha has only one meaning. It always means Passover. It can never mean Easter. I know, because my last name, Pack, derives from this word. So we find a Hebrew word used in the Greek New Testament. I repeat, this Hebrew word can only refer to Passover. Other translations, such as the New King James Version, the Revised Standard Version, and the New English Bible correctly render this word Passover. Instead of endorsing Easter, Acts 12 in fact proves the church was still observing the thought-to-be Jewish Passover over 10 years after Jesus' death. Now let's go to the other scriptures supporting Easter. This presents a problem. There are none. There are absolutely no verses anywhere in the Bible that authorize or in any way support celebrating Easter. God's Word says nothing about Lent, eggs and egg hunts, baskets of candy, etc., although it does mention hot cross buns and sunrise services as practices God condemns. The mistranslation of Acts 12 is a not-so-subtle attempt to insert a pagan festival into Scripture for the purpose of authorizing it. Since instruction to observe Easter is not in the Bible, then where did Easter originate? Easter has long been known to be a pagan festival. America's founders knew this. A children's book about this holiday states, "When the Puritans came to North America, they regarded the celebration of Easter and the celebration of Christmas with suspicion. They knew that pagans had celebrated the return of spring long before Christians celebrated Easter. For the first 200 years of European life in North America, only a few states, mostly in the South, paid much attention to Easter. Not until after the Civil War did Americans celebrate this holiday. Easter first became an American tradition in the 1870s. Remarkable, this nation did not observe Easter within the first century of its founding. Ask why. Now, does this description sound familiar? Listen carefully. Spring is in the air. Flowers and bunnies decorate the home. Father helps the children paint beautiful designs on eggs dyed in various colors. These eggs, which will later be hidden and searched for, are placed into lovely seasonal baskets. The wonderful aroma of the hot cross buns that Mother is baking in the oven waft through the house. 40 days of abstaining from certain foods will finally end the next day. The whole family picks out their Sunday best to wear to the next morning's sunrise worship service to celebrate the Savior's resurrection and the renewal of life. Everyone looks forward to a succulent ham with all the trimmings. It will be a thrilling day. After all, it is one of the most important religious holidays of the year. This describes Easter, right? No, this is a description of an ancient Babylonian family 2,000 years before Christ honoring the resurrection of their god, Tammuz, who was brought back from the underworld by his mother wife, Ishtar, after whom the festival was named, as Ishtar was actually pronounced Easter. In most Semitic dialects, it could be said that the event portrayed here is, in a sense, almost literally Easter. The occasion could as easily have been a Phrygian family, honoring Attis and Cybele, or a Phoenician family, worshiping Adonis and Astarte. Also fitting the description would be a heretic Israelite family, honoring the Canaanite Baal and Ashtoreth. Or this depiction could also represent any number of other immoral pagan fertility celebrations of death and resurrection, including the modern Easter celebration as it has come to us through the Anglo-Saxon fertility rites of the goddess Ostre or Ostara. These are all the same festivals, separated only by time and culture. What does history record about the origin of Easter? The vast majority of ecclesiastical and secular historians agree that the name of Easter and the traditions surrounding it are deeply rooted in pagan religion. Powerful quotes demonstrate the true origin of how the modern Easter celebration got its name. First is this admission. Since Bede the Venerable, the origin of the term for the Feast of Christ's Resurrection has been popularly considered to be from the Anglo-Saxon Easter, a goddess of spring. Also, the name comes from the Old High German plural for dawn, Ostaren, whence has come the German Ostern and our English Easter. Here is another. The fact that vernal festivals were general among pagan peoples no doubt had much to do with the form assumed by the Easter festival in the Christian churches. The English term Easter is of pagan origin. A third source. The name Easter comes to us from Ostara or Ostre, the Anglo-Saxon goddess of spring, for whom a spring festival was held annually, and it is from this pagan festival that some of our Easter customs have come. And finally, in Babylonia, the goddess of the spring was called Easter. She was identified with the planet Venus, of whom the goddess of love is named, which because this planet rises before the sun or sets after it, appears to love the light. In Phoenicia, she became Astarte. In Greece, Ostre, related to the Greek word os, or dawn. And in Germany, Ostara, this comes from the German word Ost, meaning east, the direction of dawn, end of quote. The word Easter should now carry new meaning to you. Many names are interchangeable for the more well-known Easter. Pagans typically used many names for the same god or goddess. Nimrod, the Bible figure who built the city of Babylon, read Genesis 10, verse 8, is an example. He was worshipped as Saturn, Vulcan, Cronus, Baal, Tammuz, Moloch, and others, but he was always the same god, the fire or sun god universally worshipped in nearly every ancient culture. The goddess Easter was no different. She was one goddess with many names. The goddess of fertility, worshipped in spring when all life was being renewed. The famous historian Will Durant wrote, "Ishtar interests us not only as analog of the Egyptian Isis and prototype of the Grecian Aphrodite and the Roman Venus, but as the formal beneficiary of one of the strangest of Babylonian customs, known to us chiefly from a famous page in Herodotus, which is, every native woman is obliged, once in her life, to sit in the temple of Venus, Easter, and have intercourse with some stranger." Is it any wonder the Bible speaks of the great modern religious system that is descended from that ancient city as the great whore and mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth? What about eggs? These have always been linked to the Easter celebration. Nearly every culture in today's world has a long tradition of coloring eggs in different ways. Notice this. The origin of the Easter egg is based on the fertility lore of the Indo-European races. The egg to them was a symbol of spring. In Christian times, the egg had bestowed upon it a religious interpretation, becoming a symbol of the rock tomb out of which Christ emerged to the new life of his resurrection. This is a perfect example of how pagan symbols and customs are Christianized by pasting Christian-sounding names over them. This is done to deceive, as well as to make people feel better about why they are following a custom that is not in the Bible. It naturally progressed that the egg, representing spring and fertility, would be merged into an already pagan springtime festival. Connecting this symbol to Christ's resurrection in the spring required much creativity and human reasoning. However, even the highly creative human mind has never been able to successfully connect the next Easter symbol to anything Christian, because there's not a single word about it anywhere in the New Testament.
The world to come will continue after this brief message. Discover more from David C. Pack. Visit our website, worldtocome.org. See the World to Come broadcasts. Read and order books, booklets, and articles, all free of charge. To continue learning about the topics covered in this broadcast, visit worldtocome.org today. Now back to David C. Pack.
Here are two quotes about where the Easter Bunny came from. In Germany and Austria, little nests containing eggs, pastry, and candy are placed in hidden spots, and the children believe that the Easter Bunny laid the eggs and brought the candy. Now the second. The Easter Bunny had its origin in pre-Christian fertility lore. It has never had religious symbolism bestowed on its festive usage. There is nothing Christian about either of these symbols. The true history of what are fertility symbols, rabbits and eggs, is completely unknown to all the unsuspecting children who've been led by adults to think them so special. That these are Christian is a lie foisted on innocent children who will believe the moon is made of green cheese if someone tells them so. While hard to believe, these are all facts nonetheless. Now, sunrise services are mentioned in the Bible. But what God says is not pleasant. The context is the prophet Ezekiel being shown, in vision, an important prophecy concerning the sins of God's people in our time. These astonishing verses reveal God's plain condemnation and what will happen to those who ignore or play down his command. Turn you yet again, and you shall see greater abominations that they do, God says. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. And he, God, brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east. And they worshiped the sun toward the east. Then God said to me, "Have you seen this? Is it a light thing, or is it no big deal that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have returned to provoke me to anger. Therefore will I also deal in fury. My eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity." Observing sunrise services is serious to God. He so hates this vile practice that he will ultimately destroy all who persist in what he calls abomination. What about hot cross buns? The prophet Jeremiah wrote this: "The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings to other gods, that they may provoke me to anger." These cakes were the same hot cross buns that millions of children sing about today. What seems so innocent is not innocent at all. These publications, Christ's resurrection was not on Sunday, and God's holy days or pagan holidays are must-reads for those who really want to understand the evil of Easter. A central theme of the New Testament is that Jesus Christ came to die for mankind's sins and offer redemption to a world cut off from God. Understand that the master counterfeiter, Satan the devil, called the God of this world, who deceives the whole world, seeks to counterfeit every aspect of God's plan. As the arch deceiver, he wouldn't counterfeit all other aspects of Christianity, but not the identity and worship of the true Savior. Who is the real Savior central to the Easter Sunday tradition? Is it the Jesus Christ of the Bible? History answers. First, notice that the conception of a Savior God was quite normal in the ancient pagan world. A conception of salvation underlies the notion of such gods as Osiris, Attis, and Adonis. Next, notice, it has often been urged that this belief in the resurrection of Jesus is due to ideas of divine resurrection current in the contemporary world. Stories of Attis, Adonis, and Osiris. In the pagan stories, the rising again is a joyous reversal of defeat. In the Christian story, it is the complement of victorious death. It may be said that Attis and Osiris saved by rising again. Today's Easter observance did not arise at once out of belief in the resurrection, but developed later by gradual stages out of the Jewish Passover. The notion implied in the Easter greeting, "Christ is risen," is a secondary development. Let's translate. Christ's resurrection was injected into the old practice of Easter observance. Can you now see why the Apostle Paul warned the Corinthians to beware the subtle deceit of, quote, "another Jesus" or "another Savior whom we have not preached"? People can think they are worshiping the true Savior when they are really worshiping a false one, another Jesus. The entirety of traditional Christianity is actually worshiping Baal, the mediator and sun god, whose wife, actually his mother Semiramis, was Ishtar. She is who the Bible calls the Queen of Heaven. However shocking, this is true. Here is an absolutely life-changing book, The True Jesus Christ, Unknown to Christianity. This truly unique full-length book reveals the Jesus Christ of the Bible in a way never done before. No parts of Jesus' life and teachings are left out, including where is the church he built that adheres to all that he taught. You will want to read every chapter. Now that we know Easter is the goddess Ashtaroth, we need to examine the Bible for what God thinks of her. Look at this from the book of Judges. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth." Easter. The context shows that God allowed his people to be taken from their land and into captivity as a result of this sin. It continues, explaining how God delivered Israel over and over through a series of judges. After each deliverance, Israel returned to the same false gods, which in turn brought another captivity by nations around them. They never learned. Notice, "And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves in following other gods. And they ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way." In Judges 10:6, Israel repeats this pattern of stubbornness. Just as stubbornly, God still calls it evil. Baal and Ashtaroth worship reappeared during Samuel's time. Samuel told Israel, "Put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only." Then the children of Israel did put away Baalim and Ashtaroth, and serve the Lord only. Later, Samuel publicly recounted Israel's history to them. He reminded them that they continually returned to obeying God, only to fall back into idolatry time and again. Because Israel could not stay on track, they were eventually taken into captivity, becoming lost to history. After one more captivity and punishment, prophecy reveals that Christ will regather them one last time at his return. This book, America and Britain in Prophecy, tells a truly incredible story, one you have never before heard. You will learn that God's solemn warnings are very real. We have seen that God never instructed, but rather actually commanded against Easter observance. It has always been his purpose that the Passover should be kept once a year. The original Passover account is found in Exodus 12. Verse 14 states that the Passover was commanded by God to be an annual memorial feast to be kept by Israel forever. This command is repeated in Leviticus 23:5. Exodus 12:15 introduces the seven-day festival called the Days of Unleavened Bread, also repeated in Leviticus 23:6-8. Which immediately follows the Passover each year. This is why Acts 12:3 stated, "Then were the days of unleavened bread," before referencing Passover in the next verse. These festivals were always kept in conjunction with one another. If the Passover was instituted forever, then New Testament instruction for its observance should be clear. It is in 1 Corinthians 5. Notice, "Purge out, therefore, the old leaven," true Christians are told, "that you may be a new lump as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast of unleavened bread," which again always followed Passover, and the context there explains. The apostles in the early New Testament church kept the Passover, not Easter. Notice this from the renowned 11th edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica. "There is no indication of the observance of the Easter festival in the New Testament or in the writings of the Apostolic Fathers. The first Christians continued to observe the Jewish festivals," God's holy days of Leviticus 23, "though in a new spirit, as commemorations of events which those festivals had foreshadowed. Thus the Passover, with a new conception added to it, of Christ as the true Paschal Lamb, continued to be observed." Despite the overwhelming proof that God's holy days, as listed in Leviticus 23, are still to be kept by Christians today, take time to read all of these passages, almost no one who claims to believe in the God of the Bible keeps them. Almost no one who professes to worship Jesus Christ observes the Passover as he commanded. You should ask why. The New Testament Passover also includes an ordinance of humility called the foot washing. Christ's command in John 13, verses 2 through 17, cannot be misunderstood. He also commanded his disciples regarding all of his teachings, "Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe," get this, "all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Only the restored church of God is doing this. Christ's instruction includes the Passover with the foot washing and symbols of bread and wine. It also includes keeping the days of unleavened bread and the rest of God's annual feast days. Can Easter be kept in honor of Christ? Some may say, okay, I know Easter comes from paganism, but I'm not pagan. I celebrate it in honor of Jesus. I focus on Him. Because God knew Israel would feel this way when encountering the religious customs of surrounding pagan nations and would try to use false customs to honor the true God, He explicitly forbade such mixing. Let's read. "Observe and hear all these words which I command you. Take heed that you inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. You shall not do so unto the Lord your God. For every abomination to the Lord," there's that word again, "which he hates, have they done unto their gods. What thing soever I command you, observe to do it. You shall not add thereto, nor diminish from it." God commanded that people worship Him exactly as He instructed. So did Christ in the New Testament, and we saw in almost the exact same words. No wonder Christ asked, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, or Master, Master, and do not the things which I say?" Jesus also warned, "Thus have you," speaking to the Pharisees, "made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Mark's parallel account adds an important element. These verses have clear application to those who reject the Passover that they may keep Easter. Hundreds of millions of people keep the rank, idolatrous, abominable, ancient pagan feast known as Easter, believing themselves to be honoring Jesus Christ. Most are in complete ignorance of what they are doing. God's answer to all today is, "The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Time precludes examining other pagan customs associated with Easter, but this booklet, The True Origin of Easter, covers all of them in detail. After reading it, you will have no doubt, none, about either the origin of Easter or what God thinks about this day. Until next time, this is David C. Pack saying goodbye, friends.
This program was made available by Restored Church of God members and donors from around the globe. Explore our vast library of literature and other World to Come programs, which are all made available free of charge. To order literature featured in this program, call toll-free 1-855-828-4646. That number again, 1-855-828-4646.